Welcome to the Mystery College Podcast. Today, we're interviewing Julia Griffin. Welcome.
I'm so happy to be with you, Jake. Right before we started, he was asking me about animal communication. And a lot of people work with me to develop their intuition, and they want to know more about animal communication. The first thing that I'll say about that is if you have a pet, you're already communicating with it. You're not just suddenly thinking, oh, I should give my dog water. Your dog is saying, I'm thirsty. Would you please get me some water or take me for a walk or whatever it is? And you're hearing them. Now, I'll tell you how I started because it was a surprise to me. And that is that I dreamed about a wolf. And 2 weeks later, I met real wolves. And it was the most amazing feeling, like being completely grounded, but totally filled with spiritual energy as well. And then the most amazing thing happened. They started talking to me, and I could hear them the same way that I can hear you or anyone speak. It was in my mind. And this went on for about 10 years, and I lived with several wolves when my children were small. That people say, how do you do it? Why can't I do it? And it's that, A, you have to open your heart, and B, that either God or the universe connects you. I think this is one of the things that most people leave out of metaphysics. There are probably 1,000 wonderful ways of connecting and getting to your intuition, but it's that openness to the universe that makes it work.
Mm-hmm. It's that openness to the universe that makes it all work. That's like the fabric underneath the 1,000 different methods or different ways.
Right. And the two ways of getting to the universe and having it listen to you is to meditate on two things, or to often think about two things, and that's light and love. And the light is easy because you're just imagining like a big, huge ray of light coming into you and your auric field and filling every particle in your field with light, which instantly raises your vibration. Then I do something that's a little different from most people. I put light in the spaces between the cells because we're about 70% empty space. But that empty space is still in our auric field. So that's twice the effect of just meditating on light. And love comes from our heart. You can think about our heart and how we love people. And a really useful exercise just to begin, and this works with animals too, but I'm going to say it about people. Anytime you want to get in touch with someone, or move closer and stop having arguments or disagreements, you think about what you love about them.
Mm.
Everything on this planet responds to love. I think that's one reason that I could hear the wolves and then eventually other animals and plants was because I fell in love with them. You know, it was mutual. We just fell madly in love with each other.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a wonderful. I think that's the first time I heard that type of communication being translated as love. And, you know, when you say that, when you hold space for that, it makes absolute and complete sense. So I really appreciate that and validate that.
Because love is palpable. You feel it. And so When you're in that feeling, that's a higher vibration. All the quantum mechanics of the universe revolve around being in a higher vibration. Because when you're in a higher vibration, let's just think about warm. All the particles start moving and bumping into each other. There are things that are happening. They're creating opportunities. But if you're out of love and you're out of light, your body's tight, you feel tired, and nothing's happening. You're like, I sent 10 emails and no one will answer me. So switch your vibration and see what happens. Because we know from quantum physics that everything responds differently in a higher vibration.
Yeah, and I wonder, like, when you're attuning yourself or bringing oneself to higher vibration, then what type of what opportunities does that open up with when it comes to communications with animals or plants or with the universe itself?
Well, when you're in a higher vibration, first of all, the universe notices you. I'm going to skip to manifestation sort of quickly. If you're trying to create something in your thinking every day, I wish this would change. My life never changes. I don't feel good. I don't know why it works for other people and not for me. The universe is going to think, aha, you want more of that. But if you start focusing on things that are wonderful, the universe loves that because it wants all of us to become who we really are and live on that higher vibration. I mean, no one would be cutting down trees and decimating forests or hunting wolves if they were on a higher vibration. Let's get real.
100%. If people were in a higher vibration, why would they go out of their way to traumatize the earth or cut down
Exactly.
trees for resources and at
And
least not replenish it?
exactly. And the good part about that is that I do know, that we're in the Great Awakening. We're between the ages and we're in the precession of ages. And so it's a time when the doors are open to receive a higher vibration. And when enough of us move into that, we'll see our physical lives change. In the meanwhile, if I have a bad day, and we all have bad days, my first question is, how can I get into more light? How can I feel my heart more? How can I feel happier about my life? Because when you ask those questions, the universe sends you energy to answer them.
And I wonder if the what kind of answers the universe has provided you in relation to the this coming age where there's a greater awakening in relation to like do you see it like advancing through technology, through a shift in consciousness? What factors do you see?
I see it as a shift in consciousness. I do think that all the computer stuff is going to have to change because nature doesn't like Wi-Fi. It's not wild about the satellites. It's fine with our communicating the way that you and I are right now. There's nothing the matter with that. It's just that there are better, safer ways of doing it.
There's better, safer ways of doing it.
I mean, just like in every house, if you have hemp sheetrock, you never have any mold. If you have copper in the house, it gets rid of viruses.
Right.
I mean, that's just super simple, but it works and it's true. There are easier ways of doing what we're doing.
Yeah, and it does take a shift in consciousness for people to collectively adapt these things, but there are definitely individuals or clusters of individuals who are closer to the beat or the pulse of the awakening.
And the clusters of the individuals, without knowing it, they're all radiating out energy that anyone who wants to be on that path can align with. It's every single one of us, when we overcome some problem that we've had, whether it's karmic or from our childhood or a belief, it opens a door for other people to do the same thing. It's
Beautiful.
pretty cool.
Yeah, it's awesome. Do our healing and it helps provide an outlet for other people to do their healing as well. We get to hold space for their healing. Yeah. And
And
it's
that's how
wonderful.
that's working. I can't predict the future, but I can feel that I know in my heart.
Yeah, and I appreciate that you've held space for people to heal their relationship with nature and communicating with nature. And if we can communicate with nature and animals and plants, then that's holds so much greater space for us to be able to listen to ourselves as well and listen to humans as a part of nature, not oppositional to it. Because
No, because we're all part of the big one, and people may not know this, but if you meditate outside, nature tries to correct whatever you're trying to manifest and make it come through better.
Yeah, I
Yeah.
definitely want to put that in practice. If I may come out into nature and meditate or do Qigong or do some energy work, and I'll have one intention, but nature will bring something different. But almost pretty much always, it's much far better than I was anticipating or wanting to bring.
Exactly. So much better than you could make up on your own, because nature is what makes everything grow on our planet. And right now, it's like she's so poised here in the deep south to like burst everything into bloom. And I'm thinking, what a huge force if we knew how to align with it.
One thing that I'm wondering is about like your experience with communication with certain animals or types of intelligences. Like, how do you find like it how it is communicating with different species? Like from cat like from mammals to birds to reptiles to like horses. Like I'm wondering what like if we could go over
Well,
kind of.
for every species, it's slightly different. I will tell you this, though. There's not an animal in the world that if you sit there and you think about how beautiful it is and how you would like to touch it and how you would like to be with it, that it doesn't respond to that love. So for any of you who have a missing animal, do that and imagine that it's there with you, because that acts as a magnet to pull it in. The wolves thought that some animals are very old and have been there since the beginning, like they have. Other things like dogs are sort of an adaptation. Dogs are very smart, but not as smart as wolves. Cats, I believe, go in and out of the astral world. So sometimes when you can't find them and they come back from nowhere, they've been out in the astral world. They have a very different existence if they go outdoors from what most people would imagine. With horses, they are prey animals like deer. So running is their big thing. Horses have a tremendous memory. They can live between 30 and 40 years. They remember everything and they love being dressed up, you know, like with ribbons and fancy saddles and things like that. Oh, and they almost all animals, by the way, see color. It's not what scientists tell you. They don't see it the way that we see it, but they see color.
Yeah. Because, like, you know, like, even though they may not, like, some may not have, like, different, they might have, like, two cones or three cones, they pick up on other senses. Their other sense gates are really intense as well. And I'm wondering how that might color their experience.
Well, I know that for wolves, they see things when they're looking at it psychically. If it's alive, it's blue. They can tell if something's alive or not from a great distance from its color. And they do perceive green, but it's sort of a dark, really dark for us, green that doesn't have a lot of life force. But everything sees things differently from how we do, which is pretty beautiful.
Yeah, that's really beautiful. I'm wondering, like, what are some insights you've gathered from, like, some animals that are, like, some animals are going through pretty intense collective traumas, like a lot of, like, you know, chickens, pigs, cattle, that we used to have much healthier relationships with human, but it completely turned the last 100, 150 years into something that is kind of pretty dystopian and evil.
And we could say that about so many parts of society right now. What I'm encouraged about is that I can go and meditate probably right now. And if I get into my zone, deer will come down, raccoons will come down, birds will gather all around me. And I think that on some level, nature is waking up. I try not to think about anything that just nauseates me, like what you were talking about. I try to focus on the good, because I know that whatever we fix our thoughts on amplifies. In other words, instead of saying, I don't know what's going to happen to the world, the weather's been so wild, I change that to the earth is changing and I'm doing my best to be in harmony with her, and that's where I want to be.
Yeah, I appreciate that emphasis on the positive attributes, because, you know, that does provide a greater shift and more benevolence. And, you know, that's what the world needs more of, not focusing on the negativity or the news cycle, but instead focusing on the growth, the potential, the possibility.
Well, I want to be informed, so it's not as though I don't know about these things or that I don't read about them. But once I have established an understanding of them, I keep my mind away from them. And if I'm reading something and it starts to make me feel afraid, I'm like, well, that's what the X is for, Julia. Just get out of it.
There you go. That's what the X is for.
Yeah.
On the tabs.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I don't watch any news, but I do read news.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm wondering, what are some insights that you've gathered from working with clients and working with their animals, perhaps, like between people's own dynamics and relationships with their pets?
Well, most people know, I will tell you that animals are really sensitive to color. A lot of times changing their color or changing the color of their food bowl makes a big difference in how they feel. Sometimes they're not comfortable, so we want to do things with that. Sometimes, for example, a dog might want more walking. My cats have strong feelings. They want to eat inside, but then they want to go outside. my cats want to go in and out at a particular time every day, and they get quite angry with me if they don't get that. But that's not a big thing to ask for, right?
Yeah, it's totally reasonable.
But I will tell you a really good story. As I was working with someone who bred horses, and it was the sweetest little foal when she was tiny. She would come get in your lap and put her head on your shoulder. She was that tame. And when they tried to halter break her, which should have been easy with her because she was such a sweetheart, she would just go insane. And so they asked me if I would talk to her. And they had a red halter on her. And, you know, that's a very physical, active vibration. And she said she wanted a purple halter, a purple lead rope, and a little purple bell. And her owner, I thought, boy, no one's ever going to hire me to do this again. Sounds insane, right? But her owner did it, and she would just follow her around everywhere like a lamb. So intuition tends to often sound like it's crazy, but it's not. Stick with it, folks.
Yeah, that's wonderful. I really appreciate that, like your insights and perspective and your trust for the insights you gather. So then it validates, you know, animals, which, you know, at this very particular point in time in consciousness, you know, many humans have forgotten how to communicate and listen to other beings of intelligence.
Well, the wolves say that that's listening through the heart, that the language of the heart was one of the original languages on the planet. And we barely needed to say anything, except back then the words were quite powerful. If we said a word, it would have immediate implication on reality. But you can hear everything through your heart. So a lot of that is opening up your heart chakra, which you could just draw a big circle on your chest and see that as pink. And there's a real reason for that. You've got three chakras below and three chakras above. And this is the seat of love. It's the place of being balanced. And when you go deeply in metaphysics, they say your heart is the plumb line. If it aligns with your heart, it's right. If you can't tell, then wait and see and meditate on it. And that's also where your inner self or your true self is. You ask about clients. We try to discover who we really are inside and what we really want, because for everyone, it's covered up with so many layers of who we should be and what we should be and how we should do it. And as you listen more to intuition, you start acting on your intuition and your heart as opposed to your programming, which is limiting.
Yeah, listening to the heart as opposed to listening to the programming. That's really, really viable for folks, because oftentimes, and sometimes I find myself looking at programming, looking at videos, and like television's literally called programming, for example. So instead of seeking out programming, seeking out living from a heart-centered place.
Right, and you can ask yourself, what can I do that would align me more with my inner self? What can I do that would make me feel better? And it's usually something I don't want to do. So I'll ask three or four times until I get something I want to do. And I'll do it. And then I'll go, oh, wow, this is amazing. I feel so much better and so much happier. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm wondering if you could share a little bit more about some of your connecting with different types of beings, like let's say the consciousness of certain insects. Mm-hmm. Or consciousness of birds. I'd love to hear a little bit more about some of the variations.
Well, birds tend to carry messages. So when we see them, they're giving us some sort of message, whatever that is. Hawks often carry a message from the universe, they say. So you would listen to that. When all the birds gather around me, when I'm meditating, I know that they're aligned with me and they're hearing what I'm saying. Cardinals are supposed to be that someone who's passed on is communicating with you. And I have noticed that when I think about my parents a lot, I usually see a lot of the red cardinals. And so that would give you some idea.
Yeah. Yeah. And I've heard like there's certain animals that resonate, like say if there's a message from the spirit world, like an owl would be more inclined. And I'm wondering, is that part of the animal's wisdom or incarnation, or is that how those animals in particular connect with human consciousness?
I think it's how those animals connect with human consciousness, because just the other night I was taking, he's very young, I was taking my German Shepherd out for a walk, and this owl just appears across the street and says, "Hoo-hoo, hoo-hoo," and I immediately thought, it feels weird. What is it? And then I could feel that there were like four or five coyotes in the yard. So of course we went for a very quick walk, but when we got back to the door, the owl said, "Hoo-hoo, hoo-hoo," and I knew it was saying, "You listened, you're going back in the door, that's great." So they have lots of messages. That's the first time that a bird has spoken to me, and it made me see reality differently. You know, and owls are traditionally wisdom, death, transformation, and they guard the spirit world.
Yeah. Yeah. That makes a lot of sense, though, that they can communicate, like, because their sound waves pick up the space and the environment. And I suppose sound, being a vibration that can hold pretty much all signatures, can transfer images like that.
Yeah, I would think so. And then crows tend to be magical.
Yeah.
It can be good magic or bad magic, but the crows are there. My father had the crow as an ally, and we had a lot of woods. And when we would walk through it, whenever there was any danger, all the crows would fly down, and they had a special call to tell him. Mm. So we would turn around or take a different path out of the woods.
Mm. Yeah. The fact that you mentioned crow, like, I noticed that, like, crows, like, they, you know, the personality between different crows varies a lot, and also even between different flocks, like you said,
yeah,
good and bad. Mm-hmm. I'm wondering, like, what are some guidelines for people to connect with animals? And first and foremost, it appears to that, like, doing so from a heart-centered space and loving the animal, and then that can help you connect with the highest resonance of said animal. But I'm also curious about, like, you know, there's a lot of variations of creatures in the animal kingdom. Some are more aligned with, you know, with life, and some are maybe more carnivorous or maybe even considered parasites.
Right. So, I mean, it just varies. I think one way to get started is to ask the universe to put you in touch with your totem animal, whatever that is. I guess I have deer and wolves and owls. Those would be the three that tend to hang around me the most, but it's different for everyone. And that will come to you, and they will teach you, and they'll be there. And when you see them, you know, hey, this means something. It's a feeling that comes within you. And the more you ask yourself, what does this mean? What is this about? The more information that you'll get. I mean, I can tell you about it forever, but the truth is that we all have a personal journey. And it's following that personal journey that takes us to truth. That's like I say sometimes, the initiations of the soul are the same for everyone, but our experience of those are completely different and individual.
Mm-hmm. Experience, it's experienceable by anyone, but the experience itself will be individual to that person, to their
unique. Right. What they see, what they feel, how they work it out will be completely different for them than it was for me.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you find, like, there's a significant difference when connecting with, like it's like some animals kind of operate individually, some operate as a pack, and some operate like as a big school, like a school of fish.
Right.
And some, like ants, are hyper connected amongst each other. Do you find that there's a difference in connecting with the consciousnesses of beings on each of those levels?
They each have different vibrations, and they each communicate differently. If you want to meet some fish, just go sit by a pond or a lake and say "Om" for about 10 minutes. They'll all come to you. Harmony is what they're all looking for.
They're all looking for harmony
within us. I'm happiest outdoors, and I guess they can feel it. Well, not out in the rain or the snow, but, you know, on a nice day.
Yeah.
I don't want to contradict myself here and, like, walk out into a big storm because I said I like that better than anything. But I also think there are a lot of other beings, you know, they're guardians of the earth, they're angels, and there are a lot of magical shortcuts that are there that appear once you get there. You know, and that happens. But with all this stuff, it takes a lot of practice. I mean, I spent 10 years being able to completely interpret what the wolves were saying to me. That's a long time.
Yeah.
And I was open to their communication. I mean, I could feel it when they wanted me. And that's when I went to see them, or that's when I spent time with them. It wasn't like I chose, oh, okay, on Saturday, I'm going to understand wolf language a lot better. It doesn't work that way. You know, there's a call from the other side. And it's true with spiritual knowledge. You can meditate every day and it helps and it puts you on that higher, more peaceful vibration. But to have a meeting with the universe calls you first. Fortunately, I think we all have lots of meetings with the universe if we would just open to them.
Yeah, if we were just more open to it, we could have more meetings with the universe. And like you said earlier, like what matters is that it's connected to, it's like your experience or my experience. It's not anyone else's.
Right. But we both concur that there's a force that's moving through us and we're discussing it now, even though we're having a different experience of it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. What got you started on your spiritual journey and your journey towards awakening greater sensitivity to communicating with all forms of life?
I think it's something similar that most intuitives have, and that is trauma in your childhood. So I found that I felt really, we had lots of animals because I lived on a farm, and I found that I felt better when I rode the pony. I felt great if I went out and stayed with the goats or the dogs or the cats. It was like I moved into a different place and I didn't feel the pain that I felt otherwise. Later on, when I was older, we moved and there were, you know, like many, many acres of wooded land. And so I began to stay there, and then I could hear the trees and the wind, and they would tell me where it was safe and where it wasn't. But I began praying pretty early because of what had happened to me made me really different from other people, which made school difficult. So I had to find some place within myself where I was okay. And then after I met the wolves, my psychic abilities went up so high that it was like, I was constantly helping people and asking them questions. And a friend of mine said, why don't you get paid for that? That's what you're doing in all your spare time. So I did. And then it became what I do.
Yeah. Beautiful. Beautiful. You know, yeah, and definitely amongst many intuitives, trauma is a big element, you know, myself included. So like, it's like that those type of experiences make us have to dig in deeper or look deeper inside or outside in order to find like a real resolution or real things that that work to help us and help others. So we have to go deeper for medicine.
Because the pain is so intense when you're a child, you've got to have something to give you some relief. And that becomes the spiritual or the natural world. But once you find out that it makes you feel better and it makes life bearable, you really can't get enough of it because it's just profound compared to regular life.
Yeah, definitely. And I'm wondering if you have any insights, because like, you know, sometimes like children can be extra sensitive and they can pick up on many things. However, I also noticed that sometimes children can experience a little bit more challenges with spirituality because they may not have developed themselves yet enough or set boundaries or protections. Like when I was a kid, I had lots of different experiences, encounters, but sometimes I had like negative encounters too, like with nature spirits, for example, like getting tricked or scared or other types of things or that are malignant. So I'm wondering what some insights you have about like sensitivity in childhood. And
well, I was really lucky about that because sort of a shaman lived on the farm and he witched a stick for me. So anytime I was in danger, I could draw a big circle around myself and nothing would come into the circle. And later on, years later, he told me, he said, you weren't but 8 years old and I saw you climbing over the gate. And he said, I could see the light coming off of you. And he said, I've got to help her. I've got to keep her safe. So he did. So I was lucky with that. For me as a child, people were really hard for me because my parents were very social. And I can remember saying, I mean, even crying, saying I didn't want to visit people because I thought they smelled bad, which they didn't. I was talking about their energy.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so being constantly having to be in social situations where I was getting all this information that made no sense to anyone but me was pretty difficult, I think.
Yeah, and it's difficult to not have anyone to integrate that with or communicate the insights that you're picking up. So it's sometimes difficult to be young and not have feelings or experiences validated so much. Right. Yeah. Yeah. But you were able to validate that with the animals and with communicating with nature, with plants, with other things.
Yeah. Because they would just come for me. And even when I was a small child, plants would always grow. I mean, I could just throw seeds on the ground and they would come up. That was never an issue.
Yeah. I'm wondering what types of experiences like we have, like when connecting with plant life, because I mean, there's some, like, plants are just super intelligent and like have so much medicine.
Okay, that's like going into a movie.
Yeah.
I can't even begin to describe it, but I will tell you, I was like, I can hear wolves, I can hear animals, I can hear all these things talking, I can read some of people's thoughts. Why can't I hear plants? Because I had a huge garden and I was gardening all day and I had these giant sage plants and I decided to move them. So of course I was smart. I dug the great big holes and watered them and put all the amendments in. And I was going to take, I'd raised beds. I was stepping over the beds to take one to a hole and the plant said, I don't want to go there. Put me down. And I was so shocked. I fell down. I was like, what? And so then from there, I learned that if it was the right place for a plant, there would be this magnetic pull downwards. And if that wasn't there, they didn't want to go there. And I've always studied herbs. And what I found is they started telling me, like if I was gathering herbs for, let's say, a bruise or a cut, they would tell me which leaves to take. And they would tell me which plants they liked. And it was like everything is so green and beautiful in their world. It looks nothing like our world. But they have very strong preferences about other plants, placement, water, and what they want you to pick or cut.
Yeah. Yeah. And so like from their perspective of you, like certain plants may like, they really like some to be next to some plants, whilst other plants energy, they're like, oh, this doesn't work.
Yeah, I hate them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Get them away from me.
Yeah. And I'm wondering, like, what, like, I mean, each plant's like energy and medicine and whole being are so distinct from each other. And even the plant's personalities. So yeah. I'm wondering, like, what are some ways that people can derive insight from the plants that they may have in their garden or their herb garden?
Right. So the ones that are easiest to grow for you or grow profusely, they already have a relationship with you. They say that you have to befriend a plant. And once you befriend it, you'll find it in nature. You'll find it everywhere. So you could start with those and look them up and see if they have any medicinal qualities. You can ask if you can pick the flowers if they bloom. And another way of working with it is like with the family. Like the mint family, for example, is large. You could work with that. You can look up the name of the species and find the family and then research plants that are in that. And usually they'll grow well next to members of their family.
Mm.
With your vegetables, you can visualize, let's just take a tomato because that's popping up in my mind. You can imagine that it's all covered in tomatoes and you're picking them and they're wonderful. But here's the thing is plants don't like it when they grow things for you to eat and you don't pick them or eat them or appreciate them. So it's like everything, like wolves, birds, plants, they all want us to tell them how beautiful they are and that we need them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Or you make me so happy because you're doing this for me.
Yeah. And when you do that, like, do you find that it's like a feeling that you hold, or do you also like verbally acknowledge in your mind or vocally, like you love, honor, or feel gratitude for them? Like, is it like a daily thing, or is it something that happens throughout the occurrence of an interaction?
It just sort of happens naturally for me. I'll go like, oh my God, I got so many green tomatoes today, or look how much that grew, or finally I put this plant in the right place, or I love it when that plant blooms. Feelings like that, it gets them. I guess we all get love and appreciation if it's sincere.
Yeah, as long as it's sincere.
As long as it's sincere and it's for real. But I think the more that you do it for real with plants and animals, the more you can do it for real with other people.
Yeah, in some ways it's doing that with plants and animals is an easier workshop than people,
A whole lot easier.
I
You
guess.
know when you don't have it right with a plant because they just die. So you've got to start back over with it. Another thing you can do is before you plant seeds is you can put energy into them and see them coming right up. Or a lot of seeds you can soak overnight. Like if now I guess you could grow lettuce and peas. Lettuce, you would just flip that on the surface of the soil and then pat it down. But with peas, if you soak them in water overnight, imagine them coming up really well. They'll do it.
We'll do it. That's
They'll do
awesome.
it. You can
Yeah.
just
Yeah.
put those in a planter as long as you've got something to string them up to grow on.
Yeah. I'm wondering, like, because you're out on a farm, you're out in the wilderness.
I'm on the edge. It's so funny. I'm on the edge of a fairly large town, but I do have a space to garden, and I've got woods behind my house. And they're at, the woods are so filled with animals, it's ridiculous. But they know I appreciate them.
Beautiful, beautiful, and they know you appreciate them, so they're like, "Oh,
I'll
let's check
go
out
here.
Virginia because I love being loved. I love being
Yeah.
appreciated."
Yeah. And that's how a lot of the universe works.
Yeah, I really, really value that. And so I'd like to know about like sometimes there's like the different trees, like what are like, when you connect with one tree, that's like, and then you start beginning to connect with all the trees in the forest and connect with the consciousness of the forest. Do you have an experience of that? Do you have things to share on that?
Yeah, one of the funniest things is it was fall or it was spring. It was a maple tree, and I was thinking how handsome it was. And the tree said, "I'm male. There's a female right down there." And at the time, I was seeing someone who knew a great deal about trees, and I said, "That can't be real. That maple just told me it was a male." And he looked at it and he said, "It is a male." And I said, "Well, is there a female over there?" And he's like, "Yep." But I didn't even realize they had two different sexes.
Yeah, and they're talking to each other. He's like, "I'm handsome." Yeah,
Yeah, I know. And then oak trees are very wise, the big ones, and they hold secrets. And there's an angel oak in South Carolina near Charleston. And for hundreds of years, people did hang bottles and wishes, and now they don't do that. But if you go there and make a wish, it's said that it will come true.
beautiful. Beautiful. And do you find that like maybe the wish comes through the tree enacting that, or is there like a connection with Akasha or some other types of mechanics that are going
Well,
on?
first of all, the tree is vast, so it has a huge root system and a huge limb system. And I think it's just heard people's prayers for so long, it knows what to do with them. But I think most oak trees will give you comfort. The evergreens in the winter, when they start to have the new fronds on the ends, you can put your hand on that and it will give you like tremendous amount of physical energy. Any
Yeah.
plant that's growing, you can take energy from the new growth. Just hold
Yeah.
out your hand and imagine it coming in, it will. So part of all this manifesting and experiencing is imagination. And we all had tons of it when we were kids, but people forget even to imagine good things when they're older, which is sad. But you know what? We can wake that up.
We can absolutely wake that up. Wondering, what are some ways that like you hold space with clients or people you work with so that they can awaken and open up to the imagination and play that they had as a kid so they can
Right.
manifest their dream life?
Well, people like to start with problems, I'm sad to say, but this is how we do it. Let's say you have a problem today. We would start working on seeing the resolution of the problem and how happy you would be later, as opposed to my taking away how you feel right now, which I could do, but it's just going to come back, right? But if you learn to focus on a better future, let's say your leg hurts. And then we're seeing you in 2 weeks, your leg doesn't hurt, and you're beginning to be able to walk long distances with your dog, and you can run a little and you're surprised at the joy you feel about that and how great it is not to feel the worry you felt in the past. Yep, that's a good way to use your imagination.
Yeah, beautiful. So a lot of people tend to imagine, or they read news, or they watch news, and then they get themselves worked up, and then they're visualizing the worst case outcomes for humanity, for their lives, or, oh, my finances. So what are some things that people can do to proactively imagine their best future, their best selves, and work towards living their best life?
Well, I would definitely avoid the news. I call it the evening dark prayer session, because visualization is part of creating. Wolves use visualization. Whatever we see in our minds, we're pulling in. And what does the news have? Lots of awful images, right, that make us feel afraid. I try to put up as many beautiful images as I can on Facebook. For people who are familiar with me, you can see that. Animals, gorgeous places, things like that. So focus on what's beautiful. Focus on what's good in your life. You're always going to have problems, probably, until we all change and go through a bigger awakening. But why not see the problem resolve? Why not see yourself feeling more love and appreciation for the people and the beings that are in your life? And if nothing else, it may be a very chaotic time of change, which it is. But gosh, the opportunity to be with a whole group of people who are awakening at once, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's really cool. You know, it's a really beautiful gift that the universe has shared with us. And the more we focus on the gifts, then the more gifts we will receive.
Exactly. And the more we're together with conversations like this, the faster it comes. Because undoubtedly, you and I and all the people we're communing with, we knew each other back when things were right in the past.
Absolutely.
Or we wouldn't show up in each other's lives.
Yeah. Yeah. So I wanted to hear a little more too about manifesting in general. Like, what are some things that people can do starting today to start manifesting?
Well, you're always going to hear from me, go to your heart first, because that's the place of love. If you're in a place of love and you want something, it's going to be much more pleasing to you than if it comes from your head. Think about why you want what you want. In general, I think that we all want this. Enough financial abundance so that we don't have to worry. And there's plenty to spend. Finding people who love you for who you are and who really get you and are there in your life, you know, fairly regularly, because we all need infusions of love. To have a vitally healthy and strong body. And I think for all of us, we probably want to double or triple our spiritual connection, because that's where this comes from. A high vibration makes things materialize more quickly. It's very useful to start using this tool with things like traffic. For example, if I'm in bad traffic, I immediately visualize what it's like when I'm calm and there's very little traffic. And guess what? It changes. All the practice things that you can do, feeling calm when you're anxious, not encountering lines or tons of people, or if you do, that it's really easy for you to get in there. Those are good things. The other thing, because people always ask this, isn't it selfish? No, because you're not happy the way you are. You wouldn't want to know how to manifest. When you're happy and you're creating things, you're giving that to everybody. And those things that you want to manifest are said to be part of our destiny. And we find them through our heart. Like you and I talking right now, this is probably something we both wished for when we were children. That you could say things like this.
Yeah, I absolutely wanted that more than anything.
Yeah. So it's like it's part of your destiny to meet people who can understand what you're saying and enlarge it and put their own ideas into it. So that's what I'm talking about with destiny. So there's something you really want and you thought you could never have it. Please revise that. The other thing to be aware of is that the only reason that we haven't manifested already what we want is because we're not completely in alignment with it. We may have emotional, mental, or physical patterns, because everybody's body has a physical pattern, that block it in some ways. So it's like if I said right now, we're going to manifest this in 2 weeks, a part of me would come up and say, you can't do that in 2 weeks. That's too hard. Who do you think you are? Why do you think that will work? But you have to counter that voice. You have to say, it's okay that you're there. That's fine. And then you have to say to yourself, I'm stronger than that voice. It's like there's this breakthrough with anything you want to manifest. You break through this level of not believing. You also change your thoughts and your beliefs about yourself, because clearly the person who can manifest it is very different from the person who didn't have it a month ago, right? So you're going to go through a whole series of changes. And it's just what we all do. It's the way that it is right now. But if you will visualize it intensely, along with wonderful, warm feelings of quiet, calm, happiness, it will come much faster. And those are a few good tips. Do you have questions about that?
Yeah. So, you know, so if I hear you correctly, first you start off with aligning with your heart area and being in alignment with that. And then that's where you make prayers or you visualize and where you manifest from.
Right.
And if the manifestations aren't coming through, it may or may, it's more or less because something is not in alignment. That's either in our emotions, our thoughts, or our physical body, like exactly. Our nadis, our channels, like, and how and that. And so that gives us a feedback to how to manifest even further. And right. Who's manifesting today is going to be very different from who's manifesting a month from now, after the more and more manifestations are seeing themselves through. And so we need to change and adjust our self-image and self-esteem and raise the vibration of these parts of ourselves that are not yet in alignment with our highest self.
Exactly. And the interesting thing about it is, as you bring those parts of you into alignment, you always get some kind of gift or skill you didn't have before. And so this process of manifestation leads us into who we really are. And it kind of gets rid of all the other junk or goop that we've collected around ourselves.
Yeah, and that's really powerful, because I think one of the things I observe and I'm sensitive to is that if the world was a stage, or if society was a stage, or capitalism, however you want to say it, then people take up roles as actors, and then they sometimes forget themselves in the process.
Mm-hmm.
And the same goes for me. Sometimes I forget my essential nature. And then, so what are some things that people can do to take the mask off and remember who they are, and take off the goop, so to say?
Well, everyone will love you when you're your inner self, because they're feeling who you really are. And the people who don't love you like that, you don't need anyway. That's step one. If you go a little deeper into this, you'll find that you have quirks or different ways of doing things that other people don't do, but people will love you for it. I mean, the last thing that I thought that people would ever like me for was being so hypersensitive. My parents hated it, right? Who could blame them? The other thing is being so psychic. For most of my life, I think until after I divorced my ex-husband, about 8 years into the wolves, or 6 years into the wolves, everybody thought I was weird about being psychic and knowing things. And now that's how I make a living.
Yeah.
So it changes. Your real qualities become more in the forefront, and they're helpful to people, and they're helpful to the planet at large. And you feel that connection. So that's really a wonderful thing. You can hear your voice. I'll do this right now. So if you put your hand on your heart, and on your throat chakra in the hollow of your throat. And I speak through my heart, it's a different vibration.
If I speak through my heart, it's a different vibration.
Mm-hmm. Your voice changes. It has different tones. And so when you can hear yourself just like normally talking, and you start to hit those tones, I'm going like, oh my God, I'm right. I'm getting it right. I can tell from my voice.
Wow, that's a phenomenal insight. Thank you so much.
You're actually speaking through your heart and your throat chakra at the same time. And yeah. That's the whole point of it. When we're aligned with our inner self, we want to speak through these two chakras at the same time.
That's really, really powerful. Thank you so much for sharing that.
And so if you're trying to get to the truth and you're not sure what you should do or how you should do it, you can say, I think I should do so-and-so. You notice that's not true. I think right now I should be talking to you. That's, see the difference in the vibration.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Night and day.
Amazing.
That's wonderful.
Yeah.
That's wonderful. And so, like, when you're speaking with me, like, you have both this point in the throat chakra and the heart engaged, and then it's like it's in alignment with the heart, like it's in full alignment, and then it's in alignment with the throat chakra.
So that truth is coming through my words.
So the truth is coming through the words.
That's why you're feeling some of the time exactly what I'm saying, or you're going, oh, wow, is because you're feeling the truth of my heart coming through my words. So that's one of the big changes of being connected to the inner self. And it's how you get free from all the heaviness of life. Doesn't mean I still don't feel heavy or have challenging days. We all do. But the thing to remember is the whole planet is going through huge shift. So anytime we can get back to this place of the heart chakra and the throat chakra, we're getting free.
Anytime we're back to the heart and throat chakra, we're free. We're
Yeah.
free through being in alignment with ourselves, and we're free through speaking our truth, which then
Both.
aligns our reality with our truth as well.
Both. Both are true. And then after a while, if you keep working with that, it's like you'll know something, but you'll feel it in your heart, which is really cool. You know, like there are lots of things that intuitively I think that I'm correct or not correct, but I'm not 100% sure. But if I feel it through my heart, I'm like, I'm dead sure.
You're dead sure if it's in the heart, like complete confidence. And I wonder about for people who are in relationships, I'm wondering how they can navigate some of the complexities with that, because sometimes our partners are really supportive of our practice and path, and sometimes they may not understand, and sometimes they're oppositional if it scares them and it
Right.
scares them to see your true nature.
Yeah. And so you just have to sort of go in and out of it. I mean, like at the grocery store, if I can see that, oh, I'll tell you a funny story. Years ago, I went to see a friend of mine who was a waitress, and she said, for God's sakes, pull in your aura. And I said, well, what do you mean? And she said, look, if everybody in the restaurant looked like they were frozen. She said, I'm not going to get any tips if you come in here and do this. She said, you've got to go back to being an average person fast. And so I did. So sometimes we have to go back to being an average person. And to do that, you pull your aura in. You don't react because no matter what other people think of your spiritual path, it's your spiritual path. You're doing what's right. But you can cool it and you don't have to tell them about everything about it, right? I think people often share too much about it with the other person. The other thing is sometimes I'll just say, I'm reacting right now and I know I'm reacting. So I don't want to talk about this right now. Let me think about it and I'll come back and talk to you about it later. And if I can do that, then the answer or how I'm responding, because you're trying to respond, changes. And it's like, you know, you don't say, you made me angry. You say, I'm angry. And that may or may not be an appropriate response. Or this hurts my feelings. It's not the other person, it's you.
Totally, totally. And I'm wondering, like, if it comes back to that point of where we, the same way that we project love, appreciation, gratitude towards other, to animals or plants, like doing that with our partners, our family members, children, parents. I'm wondering, like, what kind of healing or what that opens up.
It usually clears a lot of things that are the matter with the relationship. The thing is this is what I've learned. You get through everything that irritates you about a person, and you and they are getting along just fine. And then it happens again. And so what I started changing that to is I have a habit of finding those things that are wrong with that person. I wonder what would happen if I changed my consciousness and saw a different reality. And then that keeps me from dwelling on it because it's just so easy to say, why does this person do this? Why do they always do this? Why do they do this to me? And then that puts you in the victim role, which is a very low vibration.
Yeah, so like instead of going into a place of judgment and finding what's wrong with people, ask yourself, oh, all right, there's that part. So I wonder what would happen if we did the opposite and we saw people's strengths and we
Right.
focused on that. And then lo and behold, that those strengths will amplify in those people and they'll become better people just by us thinking, feeling, projecting something different towards them.
And I'll say, universe, you changed this because I've really tried and I'm obviously not good at changing it. So you do it. And that helps a lot. So every time I feel the emotion, I'll say, universe, you take this. You change this. I don't want to hold on to this icky emotion anymore.
Yeah, raising that, allowing the universe to take care of it, because the universe answers our prayers.
But it's a lot of practice. I mean, no matter how long you do this work, you're always going to have to really try in relationships.
Yeah, totally.
And it's always going to be 10% me or 10% you. The 90% may be the other person, but there's some part of us that needs changing in there too.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So I'm wondering if you could share some of your offerings. Like, you have a lot of, you have tele-lectures, you have courses, books, you have tons of multimedia.
I have newsletters that go out every other week. You can go to my website and sign up for that. I talk about astrology and I send a message from the wolves and just talk about different energetic things. I have classes that start every year in July, a 9-month class on awakening. Soon I'll have a monthly class that really doesn't cost very much at all, like $33 a month for 3 classes. And so those things are there. And then I guess that's about all I'm offering right now. I do a radio show. People can listen to that. And I guess it's a lot, but it doesn't feel like a lot somehow. But anyway, there you go. I do readings for people. You can get a reading. I'll get you on a higher vibration. And I can also read animals.
Yeah, that's great. Are there any future projects or plans or things that you're working on that you're particularly excited about or would want to share?
Well, as I said, I'm doing a class that's very affordable. The Awakening class is not as expensive because it's a lot of one-on-one. I'll be writing more about some of the things that we can do, and I'll also be giving some free lectures. I like to do that periodically so we can all come together and feel the more positive energies of the universe, because reaching a lot of people and talking about this is important, as we said all through our talk today, just as you're doing.
Yeah. And I'm wondering if there's some information you want to share regarding your experiences practicing different meditation systems, magic systems, to enhance sensitivities or to a more ability to connect with things.
Okay.
Like initiation texts.
Right. So the thing is the first thing is you have to really want it. Passion is the fire element. And you've got to passionately want this stuff. I mean, even going to class every week and working on yourself, it's not the same thing as passionately wanting to change yourself in your life. So you've got to have that. There's a lot of repetition and a lot of discipline. We just talked about other people. I'm not perfect. I still have my flaws. I still have my 10%. I work on that every single day with my friends and my family and my children. And so I'm getting better at it, but I still have blocks. All these things take practice. If you really want to manifest something, then you better focus on it for 10 or 15 minutes a day. The meditation, I showed you how to do the light. I went through a lot of hermetics. I went through tons and tons of exercises, and I did them all. So I've gotten to the point that an exercise that might have initially taken me 30 or 40 minutes, I can reduce to about 5 minutes now. And so when people study with me, they get the benefit of the really quick way of doing those exercises. I'm a very practical, intuitive, doesn't work. It doesn't make a difference in your life. I don't do it or teach it. I mean, you can meditate all day and go into bliss, but I want the big stuff that takes you up.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I really appreciate that practicality that you have in your ability to articulate things. Because not every intuitive is able to, you know, in very, very specific detail, step-by-step, explain a lot of these different processes and things and underworkings, and also guide people to having the same capacities.
Well, that's what I want. Because think of the world we'll create, people like us. Yeah, you can feel it when I say it. That's the point. But I do try to make it so that it's very easy to replicate what I do.
Yeah, and thank you so much for being on today. It's a pleasure speaking with you. Is there any last pieces that you'd like to share with folks?
Sure. Get your mind focused on awakening. Get your mind focused on what you will be like if you go up to the next level and you learn to create things for yourself. And you're welcome to come check out my website and see if there's anything that you want there. And then the last thing is namaste, a bow before the divine in you.
Beautiful. Thank you so much. And is there any so what are some of the social medias you're posting to, website?
My website, Facebook, I send emails, and I guess you could follow me on Facebook because I do classes from there. It's Julia B. Griffin 9, if you want to find me. So those are things that I do, but I'm around. Come find me, come see what I'm doing, and I'll share it with you as best I can.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you. It's a pleasure.